Back then they had what they called training union. And it started at 6, and we'd go to training union. And then we've got preaching at 6. I said, 7. I said, you got preaching again at night? Yeah, we got preaching at night. I said, well, all right, I got that. What else you got? He said, we got Wednesday night. And I said, you have church on Wednesday night? He said, yeah. He said, we have prayer meeting. And he told me about that. I said, well, I'll be here. I said, what else you got? He said, well, we have revival sometimes. That's where we all get together and we sing and shout and cry and get a preacher to come in and stir us up. I said, well, I ain't never been nothing like that. Oh, yeah, I like that. I said, what else you got? He said, we got vacation Bible school. I said, you go on vacation to go to Bible school? He said, no, we got they come here. We put a sign up in the yard and they just come and we teach them the Bible. I said, well, I want to get in on that. I was little, I didn't get to go to nothing like that. And I'm going to tell you, I've been hooked ever since. I don't know why anybody wouldn't go to church. I love it. Amen? All right, amen. Amen. All right, by now you ought to found Lamentations if you didn't. I've been stalling for you. I don't know nothing else to say. Well, still your pages turning. Lamentations chapter 3. Let's start with verse 40. You ought to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, let's start with verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with an anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain and hath not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and the refuge in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of waters for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because all the daughters of my city, mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing and at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul and hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge my cause. Now this is the Lord in His inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, giving us a history of someone that was brokenhearted and broken spirit and wept and cried until God heard him. Amen. Some pastors, some preachers preach on the subject of the day, whatever's in the headlines. Some on the subject of the moment, Memorial Day. But as a pastor, I've always tried to preach what people need. I said it Wednesday night, I've tried to teach your family how to be saved and sure. I've tried to do that. I've tried to teach you how to be a scriptural person. I try to do that. I've tried to teach you how to be holy. I've tried to teach you how to be a successful Christian. I've tried to teach you how to love one another. I've tried to teach you how to love sinners. And now you need to know what the Bible says about weeping. The Bible's full of weeping. There's a lot of crying in the Bible. And in this passage, you'll find Jeremiah, his nickname was the weeping prophet, weeping of the condition of Israel and himself. We have a tearless church. I know not everybody's tearless, but I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ is a tearless church in the day that we live in. This Sunday, they're having a party, most of them. They even call it celebration service. They're dancing. They're clapping. They're having a wonderful time. And I'm not against having a wonderful time. We love a joke. We laugh, but we also cry. There's a time to cry. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to cry. And I don't want a tearless church. I don't want that. I don't want a place where people can go and the Spirit of God move on them and it not bring them to tears and weeping. If not for themselves, for others. If not for their condition, somebody else's condition. Jeremiah wept. You ought to read the book of Jeremiah. He wept a lot. His eye affected his heart, he said. And his weeping broke his heart. And his broken heart gave him tears. And as a result of that, he had a brokenness that nobody else in his whole country seemed to have. The king didn't have it. The princes didn't have it. The priests didn't have it. But Jeremiah had a broken heart for his people, and it caused him to weep. And you know, there's a great need for revival in our churches for tears. I know we like to laugh, and you know me, I like to laugh and cut up. But more important than laughter, I think, according to the scriptures, are tears. I think it's, when I got saved, I cried probably most of the day that day. I think about it, I cry now. That the God of glory would save somebody like me. That God would interrupt my life. I wasn't looking for Him, He was looking for me. I didn't even want what they had. I wanted something else. I didn't know what I wanted, but I knew it wasn't that. And God came down and interrupted my life. And I wept and I cried. And I wasn't ashamed. I'm still not ashamed, but weeping and crying for what He's done for me. And we need that in our churches. Yeah, I want you to be happy. I want you to have what you need. I want God to pour out things from heaven that you pray for. But more important, I want you to have tears because let me tell you something. Yes, tears touch God.
Yes, Lord.
Jeremiah, he lived in a tearless society. They were all selfish. They were doing what was right in their own eyes. They were seeking what they thought they needed, and God knew they didn't need it. They were looking for a different path. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And you can't have real joy till you've got real tears. And without tears, there's no compassion. And God sees our tears. Isaiah 38:5 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thine tears, and behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years." He gave a man 15 years more of life simply because he fell on his face and cried and wept that God would have mercy on him. God gave him 15 more years to live when the death pronouncement was already on him. Psalm 56:8 says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" God keeps count of our tears. Our tears are so precious, He puts them in a bottle and He keeps count of every tear that we shed. In Psalms 56:8, He says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." When we wander from God, it'll make us cry. And God convicts us of that. And then we weep over that. And then God forgives us, but He never forgets the tears that we shed while we were wrong and how it got us right. Amen? I'm afraid we rob a lot of people of joy by stealing their tears because we jump in between them and God and they don't have the opportunity to pray because we rescue them. We do that to our children. We do that to our grandchildren. It's good for your children to cry. It's good for your grandchildren to cry. Grandparents should never be parents. They ruin children. They don't want to see them cry. Amen? Come on. But God wants it. He likes it so much, He saves those tears. They're precious to Him. Matthew 26, verse 75 says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, and he went out and wept bitterly." You know, when Peter denied the Lord had already told him he was going to do it, and he refused to believe it. He refused to accept it, and it turned out exactly the way Jesus said. And then after the cock crew, he remembered everything that Jesus said, and it convicted him, and he ran out all by himself and wept and repented and asked God to forgive him. And did you know that Jesus had already told him that was going to happen? Because he said, "Peter, when thou art converted, comfort the disciples," or whatever. But he said, "When thou art converted." So he knew that Peter had to have a change of heart. And the only thing that was going to bring the change was a broken heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
We pet people into hell. We convince people they're saved when they're not even saved. Because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Or we ignore it at the best. We ought to weep for our sin. Don't sit there. I don't see halos in this place. There's no angel wings down here. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to get saved, when people get saved, I see them weep. Real salvation. Now I've turned people back, walked down the aisle, some kid walked down the aisle chewing bubble gum and smiling. I said, "Go back to your seat, you don't understand what's going on here. If you understood what was going on, you'd be weeping, you wouldn't be laughing coming to God, you'd be weeping, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'"
Amen.
We got tearless churches. We need to remember our sins, remember how God forgave us of our sins. One day God's going to wipe away our tears. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying." But until He does that, we'll have some crying. We'll have some crying for our own sin. You see, now it's the world has changed so much and the church has changed so much that they don't see sin like it is really anymore. It's not a sin. This is what they say. Well, it's not a sin. It's just a shortcoming. Well, it's not a sin. It's just a mistake. No, we sin. Sin is transgression of the law. That's what He says in Leviticus. So when we break God's law, we sin. And look, that's what Jesus died for on Calvary, was our sins, and that ought to make us feel bad, and we ought to weep over that. I preach now sometimes about sin, and people get heady and high-minded. They throw out that redneck, you know, and "You can't talk to me like that." Well, I'm not the one talking. God says that. In order to break your heart that you've let God down, you failed God, your Heavenly Father. Hey, you're not failing me. I have no expectations of you at all. I have enough problems with myself. Amen? I ain't coming over to your house to see what you read or watch on television. I'm not turning on your radio to see what you listen to. I'm not going to meet your friends to find out who's saved. Hey, that's between you and God. But sometimes it ought to convict you and you ought to weep over it. Our churches are full of tearlessness. God help us to weep for our sins. Number one, weep for our sins. When was the last time you really wept over your sin? I prayed, but I said, "God, make me a better Christian. God, make me a better husband. God, make me a better father. Make me a better grandfather. Make me a better friend to my friends." We ought to weep over it. Amen. Come on, help me. And then we ought to weep for our children. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 23:28. You can turn there if you want to, but I'm going fast, okay? Luke 23:28, "But Jesus, turning unto them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children.'" Boy, I tell you what, our children, we ought to weep for them because this sinful society they've been subjected to. Now you listen to me. You listen close. If you've got children or grandchildren, this is not your grandma's world. This is not where your grandma grew up. Everything's different. And if you were raised in a good home and you were sheltered from society, you'll thank God for it. You'll not rebel against it. You'll thank God for it. That God give you a family that would weep over you and pray over you and protect you, because this wicked society will corrupt you and hurt you and break your heart and use you up. And when it gets through, it'll throw you down and leave you broken. What a weep for our children. I think about the children. What they have to put up with. When I was growing up, we were the lowest of society. We were the bad percentage. But you know what? I never had things tempted me and going after me that our society throws at our children today. What a weep for them because of that sinful society. And Jesus said, just like in the days of Noah, so shall it be. He said, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, that's the way it's going to be. And boy, we're there. Amen? I think we're in the last generation of children. I saw in the, something today where the evangelical, no, the Lutheran, evangelical Lutheran church, that's what they call it. They have a big youth meeting once a year somewhere out west or up north. Not many of them around here. And they usually have about 30 to 50,000 youth in attendance. And this year, the main speakers are a little boy, about 10 years old, who thinks he's a little girl, and his mother. And I saw that picture, I thought, you wicked, sorry, sodomite woman, you've convinced that little boy's a little girl because you don't have a girl and you made a girl out of that little boy. Shame on you! And our kids have to see that. We didn't have to see that growing up. Amen? We didn't see that. Hey, if anything like that happened, it was in the background, in the dark, in the back room. We didn't know nothing about it. And now they glory in their shame. And perverting little children like that at a youth rally, a youth conference. God have mercy on those children, but punish those people that's doing that. What a weep for our children. They have a lack of godly examples. You know, when I was growing up, I wasn't a Christian. But I could tell you what, I could take you to some men of God that live right and talk right. And I didn't know anything about being saved. But when I saw those men, I thought, well, that's how you ought to be as a man right there. He took care of his family. He went to work every day. He paid his bills. He didn't cuss. If he did, it wasn't in public. He didn't drink. If he did, it wasn't in public. Hey, he didn't cuss. If he did, it wasn't in public. Let me tell you something. We had some examples we could follow back then, but now there's so few godly examples, mothers and fathers now. Over half the children are born out of wedlock. Read the paper. Read your births. Read them. Read those names. They are not married. Those children, they're not married. No commitment there. No example of a mother and a father there. And we'll pray for our children that God will give them godly role models. I'm glad there's some men in this church that our children can look up to. A lot of churches don't have any men anymore. They got something, but they're not men. I don't know what they are. Now even our pulpits have men that think they're women in them. God help our children to have some godly examples. Amen? Amen. And we'll weep for them because of the this lackadaisical attitude our churches have. I mean, laid back, just like, whatever. No, we'll weep for our children. This Laodicean church that we're in, they're lukewarm. They're not hot nor cold. They're not drunkards, but they ain't real saints either. And they have church services, but God's not invited into them. And what a weep for our children. What a weep for them. God help our children. What a weep over our families. How many whole Christian families can we name? Now, I'm not talking where mama takes them to church. But I mean whole family. Mama, daddy, children. They're in church. They read the Bible. They pray. They're trying to live for God. How many do we really know? we're to weep for our children. And then we're to weep for our brethren. Job 2:12 says this. Job 2:12. I think I'm too loud. You might want to turn me down a little bit. Amen. Job 2:12. I see people holding their ears. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew. Listen. Are you there yet? Job 2:12. And knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. You know what? What a weep over our friends. Hey, they saw him, but they didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. Such a bad situation, friends didn't even recognize friends. Now, folks, we ought to recognize our brethren and we ought to weep over them. We ought to weep over those that's fallen. You know what I mean? I mean, they used to go to church. They used to read their Bible. They used to pray. They used to be a witness and a testimony. But somehow, some way, they've fallen by the wayside. We know they were real. We know they were real. We felt God on them. We saw God on them. But the old Satan has hindered them and he's thrown something in their path and they've fallen, and we ought not beat them up and beat them down, but we ought to lift up the fallen and pray for them. Baptists are the only army that shoots their own wounded. Well, I knew she wasn't right. Well, I saw it coming. I just didn't want to say nothing. Oh, you hypocrite. You sorry, low down. You ought to be weeping on them. Say, God help them. God have mercy on them, because except by the grace of God, there go I. We'll weep over them and pray for them and ask God to help them. We'll to weep over those that's failing. Yep. They're failing. They've been saved. They're not long in the faith, or either they're still young in the faith, or maybe they're just immature in the faith, but they're failing at the Christian life, and they really want to do good, and they really want to do better, and instead of criticizing them for their failings, we ought to pray for them. God give them strength. God help them, and weep and cry over those that are failing. When was the last time somebody got out of church and you went to see them? It shocked you how many places I've been, how many people I've talked to, and I went to their house, and because they visited here or somebody asked me to go see them, and I go see them and they say, this is the I've been out of church for 10 years or 12 years or whatever. Nobody from that church has ever called me. Nobody from that church has ever sent me a card. Nobody from that church has ever visited me. The pastor hadn't even been by. They failed. And people swept them off to the side. You ought to go over there and knock on their door with tears in your eyes and say, look, we need you. You need us. Don't leave us. Don't get out of God's will. We ought to pray for them. We ought to weep over them. And then, look, we ought to weep over our nation. Nehemiah 1:4. I know this is not going to be popular today, but we got to do it. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And he prayed to God to heal his land and to heal his people. Did you know that our nation is in trouble? The Bible teaches us to pray for those in authority over us. The Bible teaches us we need to pray for our sinful nation, example after example, before God brings judgment on our nation and destroys our nation, or at least chastises our nation. We ought to be weeping and praying over it. Let me stop right here and say something personal. If it makes you mad, I don't care, okay? If you quit watching the stupid NFL games that the boys won't salute the flag, they'll fire them. That owner makes money off that game. They sell tickets. And when you watch it on TV, the people who are advertising pay for you to watch it. And you quit watching it, the advertisers will get upset and they'll quit paying for advertisement, and I guarantee you he'll fire that sorry, low-down rascal that won't even get up to attention when the flag goes by. Amen. God help our... you get more enjoyment out of the stinking football game than you do those people that ought to be patriotic. I wouldn't watch him. I wouldn't go across the street to watch him. Amen. A lot of other things I can say about that. I better go on. I'm getting the flesh. But we need to pray for our nation. Now you look at me. I know our president is not a Bible-believing Baptist Christian. I know that. But there's been more jobs created in the past year, and there's been more things improved and more laws passed in the past year than there were for 10 years before that. And God did that. That man didn't do that. So you ought to pray for that man. Pray for the nation. And look, we don't want to put somebody in there that don't know if they're a man or a woman, or they don't know if they're a communist or an American. Hey, we got old redneck New York Yankee president. How do you expect him to talk? That's the way they talk. He's not a Sunday school teacher. I doubt he could quote you two or three scriptures. I wish he could, but he can't. But he's the one God's got in there. And we need to weep and say, Lord, give our president what he needs to do what you want us to do. And God, look, things are coming back again. God's blessing us again. People praying in public again. The name of Christ is being named again. Amen. You ought to weep and you ought to vote. You need to pray for those in authority over you. By the way, a policeman pulls you over. I don't care if he's 18. Say, yes, sir. Amen. Now they're good women. Yes, ma'am. You know why I pulled you over for it? Sure do. Yeah, you know. Be honest. Yeah, I know. I know. In my case, speeding. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Have mercy. Have mercy. That's what you got to say. Amen. But you're to honor those in authority over you. You're to honor the president. You're to honor people in positions of authority. You're to honor your boss, man. If you don't, and you can't quit, go get you a job somewhere else. I'm not much, but you're to honor your pastor. Not just me, but real Bible preaching pastors. They're few and far between, and you're to honor them. Amen? Amen. I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I'm just preaching, okay? Now, Nehemiah said he was praying for those innocents who were suffering because of it all. You know, there's people in this country that just can't do anything for themselves, and there's children and there's other people, but we ought to weep over our nation. When you go to California and the streets are lined with homeless people and drug addicts, and I've seen videos. Go on YouTube and look up Los Angeles, and Not just thousands, tens of thousands of people living in the parks and under the bridges and stuff because of godless government. Amen. God help those people. God give them a good leader. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I better go on and tell them, making some people mad. Amen. Amen. Luke 19:41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Did you know that we'll weep for the lost? Amen. Let me ask you something. Look at me. Look. I done read it. You don't have to turn there. Trust me. It's King James Bible. Look at me. How can we not weep for people that we say we love? Amen. And we go to church on Sunday and they don't go. And we read the Bible and they don't read the Bible. And we pray and they don't pray. And God blesses us. He can't bless them. And we're going to heaven and they're not going to heaven. Our own children. Our own grandchildren. Our own brothers and sisters. Mothers and fathers. Come on, help me. How can you be saved and going to heaven and say you're a child of God and God loves you so you love everybody? How can you not weep over people going to hell? You see some old fella staggering down the street and you go right around and say, oh, sorry, drunk, he ought to get a job. That's somebody's baby. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's loved one. Might be somebody's husband or father. How can we not weep over people going to hell headlong in the hell? You say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. Then we weep over you. Because you'll be a believer. You won't be there 1 second before you're a believer. And you're going. And we weep over that. God, we have no joy in people going to hell. We ought to weep over people going to hell. It ought to move our heart, and that ought to move our tears, because hell's a real place. Let me tell you something. I don't care what the liberals are saying, or what these so-called colleges are saying, or so-called religious crowd is saying now. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says that, listen, He says that there's a hell. And He says the wicked shall be turned into hell. And He says the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And there's still a hell, and your unbelief has not cooled it down one bit. And that liberal professor hadn't cooled it down. And that hypocrite of a preacher hadn't cooled it down. There's a hell, and we weep over people going to hell. God have mercy on them. How can you look at your son or daughter and them not be saved, and it not make you cry that they're going to hell? We're to weep over loss. 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one away in Christ's guilt and gloom. O Church of Christ, what wilt thou say when in the awful judgment day they charge thee with their doom? That's not all. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave you with this, and I've told this story many times, but I'm going to tell it again. When I got saved, I tried to witness to all my friends. I found out most of them had already heard, and I thought they were like me, that they were ignorant, they'd never heard, but most of them had heard. But there was one, his name was Doug, and the Lord, I don't know if the Lord did it or me and this other guy did it, but we started a church there in Lancaster. I've told you, that old liquor store, we rented it and started a church in it. And every Saturday I'd go down there on visitation. Here I am, what, 25, 26, 27 years old, and I go to Lancaster every day, and I'm knocking on doors, and I'm inviting people to church, and I'm witnessing to people. I'm leading people to Christ. Every Saturday I do that. And every Saturday I rode right by Doug's Road. Doug was the cool guy in high school. He was the first one to let his hair grow out. He was the first one to wear the bell bottoms. He was the first one to bring pot to school. He was the first one to bring liquor. He was the first one to show us how to do stuff like that. He was the cool guy. You know, everybody thought Doug was so cool. But Doug had a car wreck after I got saved, and he was crippled from his waist down, and he couldn't get out of bed, and people took him drugs, and they took him pot, and they took him alcohol, and they took him all kind of stuff. And every Saturday I'd ride by his road, and the Holy Spirit would say, you need to go talk to Doug. And every Saturday I'd make an excuse. Every Saturday I'd make an excuse, because I was afraid he'd laugh at me. He was the big dog. You know what I'm saying? He was the tough guy. He was the cool one. And every Saturday I'd say, but God, I gotta go do this first. I'll do that later. And every Saturday for over a year, 18 months, I rode by that road knowing I ought to witness to Doug, and I did not do it. And somebody told me one day, said, you hear about old Doug? I said, what? They said, he died. And the Holy Spirit convicted my heart, and I wept and I cried and I said, God, I'm sorry. As far as I know, he was not saved. As far as I know, he never even heard the gospel. His family wasn't like that. As far as I know, he died and went to hell, and the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. And I wept and I cried. I still do every time I think about it. One day there's going to be a great white throne judgment. The Bible says the heavens are going to be rolled away like a scroll, and the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat, and we're going to be standing out there in eternity, and God's going to judge those for punishment, not heaven or hell, but for punishment, all those that knew not Christ. And we're going to be behind the great white throne. We're going to be in that great cloud of witnesses. We're going to be the ones that are saved, watching Him judge the unsaved. And they're going to come up one by one. And hey, their lives are going to be rehearsed. And every opportunity they had to be saved is going to be rehearsed. And then God, being just and righteous, is going to cast them off into the lake of fire. Hell itself will be emptied. And those will be judged, cast into the lake of fire, to determine how much punishment they'll receive. And I don't know how all that's going to happen, but I get a picture in my mind sometimes. Doug standing there in front of that great white throne, and God judging him, And me standing in that crowd looking at him like this, weeping. That's why, by the way, God says he'll wipe away all our tears in heaven. And I'm going to be weeping when he stands there because I am so guilty. And I'm going to look at my hands and Doug's blood is going to be on my hands. And if God does ask the question, and I don't know that he will or he won't, but if he did ask the question, can you give me a reason why you should not go to hell? He can look over there and he say, that's Ronnie. He was saved and he never told me. What a weep. When was the last time you wept over people going to hell? I'm going to start a new series next week. And I want to help you see people saved.
Yes.
But you can't see people saved till you get a broken heart.
Yes.
You don't even care till you get a broken heart. Until you weep, you're not going to move. And our churches today are dancing and they're singing and there's people going to hell and they're overdosing with drugs and heroin and crack and meth and they're dying in car wrecks and shootings and stabbings and killings. And they're over here at the other church having a party and rejoice and celebrate. Well, let me tell you something. There's not a whole lot to rejoice over when people's going to hell. You wouldn't feel that way if it was your son. You wouldn't feel that way if it was your daughter. God, give us back our tears. Maybe today you're weeping. You ought to weep over your nation. Maybe you ought to weep over your family. Maybe you ought to weep over your own sin. But most of all, you ought to be weeping over people going to a devil's hell. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.